Bro, just wait.
Talking Schmidt.
I'm already not watching.
It's cool. Like, tonight is the night.
Damn, this is like the coolest thing I'm ever gonna do.
Oh, I wouldn't say it was fun.
What do you mean, bro? Christian Fletcher's younger brother.
Fuck the Dodgers.
Oh, big dog's in. What do you think, Dolan?
We on? Schmidt.
Talking Schmidt.
Most of these guys, their opinion don't matter.
Talking Schmidt, right?
And skateboarding.
I remember that.
Talking Schmidt.
Holy shit.
What are Yuns doing?
Okay, yeah.
I'm in your house, dude.
You're going to come out different.
Oh, no, Schmidt, you can't jump in.
What is happening?
I'm here for Greg Smith. Yay!
Gregory!
Yeah, man, chicken bone. Chicken bone, that was home.
Wi-Fi check one, Wi-Fi check two.
It's weird what skateboarding has become, but back to religion, that's what really kind of threw me off about, you know, that was one of the last meetings I walked out of. I was just like, dude, this is bullshit. You could literally look around the room and be like, this is bullshit. There's an ulterior motive there. You know what I mean? There's a complete ulterior motive. If you're able to lie about something that, like that, or bullshit, or like, I don't want to be around you. I don't know, man. Just skateboarding is going into this weird hole, these weird rabbit holes that we wouldn't think they would be in. Like, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, it was a pretty free thing. And everyone was just doing this thing. You know, everyone's just really doing this thing and psyched to do it, building these crazy ramps, learning these crazy tricks, crossing paths. And doing the cool shit, you know, just doing this cool thing. And we were old enough to know everyone was going to school then. And most of these people were not very versed in things in school. Everyone hated school, right? Not everyone loves social studies. And it's fucking crazy. It's just weird to skateboard what it's become, man. And, you know, that's for other people. I know what I like it for. I know what I love it for. I love it to be able to have these kind of conversations and talk to someone that looks at skateboarding differently than I do. The guy that taught me a lot about skateboarding was more like Schmitty than he was like Kareem. You know what I mean? The guys I grew up skating with, they had a mini ramp with pool coping and all kinds of shit. Like, and then I had my street buddies too. But like, yeah, all my buddies, they loved Thrasher and they were older guys, but they were the cool older guys. I learned more from them than I did my street friends growing older, because my street buddies, all they want to do is like rob shit and fucking da 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 da. The older guys taught me a lot about respect and like taught me about skateboarding, what it meant, and like showed me all the cool old photos. They cared about skateboarding, not just like the ideal of it, you know? Like the dude I grew up skating around with, his name is Chuck. Chuck loves skull skates. And like, I'd always be like, what the fuck is skull skates? You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, what the fuck? And then so as time went on, I was like, man, Chuck's cool. Skull skates is cool as shit. You know? Like, he likes Circle A and shit like that. So I was like, dude, what's wrong with this guy? And like, and I had this like weird thing where I wanted to be cool with my street buddies, but I knew Chuck knew everything. You know what I mean? So I gravitated towards like hanging out with the guys like Chuck, the guys that knew all the shit and like could teach me about the history of skateboarding. And but he never showed me fucking Chuck Treese. I didn't know Chuck Treese was on the cover of Thrasher until I was like almost 30 years old, dude.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, dude. I had no idea who he was. I'm not joking. I had zero idea who Chuck Treese was. I knew who Mick Rad was, but I didn't know who Chuck Treese was.
Right.
That's crazy, right?
I mean, it's interesting. I mean, you'd have a way better perspective than me, but I do believe that at some point, it's hard even to talk about, but it feels like Chuck Treese was the first black man on the cover, right, of Thrasher.
Yes.
We didn't celebrate that or talk about that ever until like 2020, you know, like... Like,
which is true though. It's true,
the,
right?
The cover was like 84 or something. Like,
yeah,
why?
Right?
I get it, and I want to celebrate and all that.
BLM,
but,
dude, you know what it is. It was a lot of the world stopped, and people had time to talk about.
But
I think
what happened is the obvious. Everyone got social media. Everyone has a platform. Everyone thinks their voice is just as important, and so. The whole idea of this is rad, but you want to know what sucks. Like that became the vibe. Want to know what sucks about that? I can find what sucks. And I was talking to somebody last, Brian De La Torre. He's coming on our podcast, will air tonight. And he was like, dude, how easy is it to find negativity? Like, what's hard is to keep it positive. All these clowns are taking the easy way out. It's like, dude, I can pick apart you too. Come over. Give me 5 minutes. You're fucked. You know, like I can fuck you up. No problem. But that's not what we should be trying to do. We can point things out when they hit us hard. Like, damn, that dude smells, man. What the fuck? Right. But like picking him apart to find out like, dude, this guy shaves his ankles. What's wrong with him? Like, you know, or whatever. You're just like, why can't, like you said, this kid's pushing Mongo. Someday he's going to learn that ain't the coolest thing, but he doesn't need to learn that at six. He's trying to fucking just do it right now. Just give him some time. He'll find out just like you did. We all did it. Like, chill out for a second. I mean, I don't know if you know McKenny. He's my good buddy here. And he always hits me up about like gatekeepers and industry plants. That's just too, it's a little conspiracy that feels like, but like, that's what really pisses him off is like, that dude's an industry plant. Fuck that gatekeeper, like blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I get it, because in a lot of ways for me, when Jake died, it opened up the gates to like a lot of things, and we're seeing it. And some of us aren't happy about it, and some people love it. And that's just the same thing about life. It's like, you love Cheerios, but I need eggs, man. Like, that's it, you know? Like, it's like, there's no right or wrong necessarily, because in the end, it's whatever floats your boat. But I don't have to kill you over Cheerios versus eggs. Like, fucking Clyde, he likes Cheerios. What an idiot, dude. It's eggs, man. Like, you're like, what? Why are you losing your mind over this shit? Like, eat your breakfast and go enjoy your day. Like, you know, it's taking those mentalities. I really believe that they float across the board in life, that everything is about like your mindset and how you look at things. And believe me, dude, I shit talk my ass off my whole life. I drank a lot and I did stupid shit and all that. I think a lot of us did, but there's not a lot of good things about getting older. One of the good things is the wisdom that you do have, and that you start seeing things like, man, I did that, no regrets, but I ain't doing it again. You know,
oh, absolutely.
And like, I need to think like this, and I need to like be a little kinder to these people. Why? Because I want people to be kind to me. Like, just like, you know, like give and take and karma and all these things, that the cliches of life that you're like, that's a cliche. Well, it's a cliche because it's fucking true. It's all this shit that happens all the time. And they got this word called cliche. It just means this happens. Like, that's it.
Yeah. You just influence somebody.
It's life's a funny thing, man. You know, I think about a lot of things too that, you know, that I used to do a lot as a kid, and it doesn't even like entice me anymore. You know, like, I used to like challenging every, you know, like, even if it's for shits and giggles, you know, challenge like a comment on the internet. And now it's just like, it's funny. Like, I catch myself a lot like, and it's weird because, like, a part of me is like, I'm like, fuck. And I'm like, well, I think a piece of me just grew up a little bit. It's an uncomfortable feeling, but I feel like we need to be uncomfortable in some aspects of life, you know, when the uncomfortableness feels good, you know, and I can even take that back to my current situation. This isn't a good uncomfortable. I don't feel like this is going, you know, it's like, I'll be honest. I just don't feel like this is going to be a good uncomfortableness, and I'm going to come out and be like, oh man, I'm glad I stretched that out. You know, it's like, it's like being in a bad relationship and you know you should go, but you're trying to make it better. I spoke to Dante Ross yesterday for a good while about,
the gas, you know, face.
Yeah. You know Dante, right?
Yeah. Black Cat is Panther. Bad Guys Wear Black. Must have been a white guy that started all that. Get the gas face. Dante Ross gets the gas face.
Dante's a homie, dude. When he was talking to me yesterday about everything, he was really like trying to talk to me about everything yesterday. And, you know, he had some good words of wisdom. And I appreciate it. You know what I mean? But, you know, I think this is just something I'm going to have to do my own way. A lot of sobriety, and I'm sure you've dealt with it too. Like, you get a lot of, everyone has an answer. You know what I mean? Everyone has an answer. And it's not, you know, and, but they tell you to be selfish at the same time. Feel like, it's just better to find your own answers, man. And I'm not at a point where I'm like devastatingly lost at life. Well, like, you know what I mean? I'm not. Yeah, I feel like I'm stalling a lot at this point. And I don't like stalling. I still have a lot to do, man. And the more I put off is the more I have to catch up. It's just smart to use my time because we don't know how much time we have left here, man. You know, we really 100%. Don't. Like, none of us do. None of us do, man. And you know, it's unfortunate what happened with Mark. It's really unfortunate. You know, it's you never know what someone's going through. You never know when it's going to be your last minute. So it's always good to just, you know, tell your friends you love them and be there for people, man. You know, anyone calls me, I pick up the phone. You know, anyone messages me, I pick up the phone. You know, those are my friends. Those are my people. And, you know, you want your last conversation to be a good one. And some people don't know it's their last time talking to you, dude. They don't know that. And that's why it's very important, man, to tell people you love them while they're here. And, you know, I think Mark got a lot of love while he was here. You know, you see a lot of people coming out of the woodworks now and, you know, expressing how they feel about him. And I'm sure had he felt that way when he was here, you know, it's, you get what I mean? Had he seen and felt all that love while he was here, things, I don't know if things will be different. Things happen because they do. But
yeah,
there's an outpouring of love that, you know, I think we all can be honest, we didn't see when he was here. You know, like if everyone would have told that man how he felt all the time, you know, or like a quarter of that love, you know, it's important to tell people because you don't know where people's heads at, man. You know, and he, I'm sure he would appreciate seeing all of that now. I get hyped when I see something of myself. Someone posts something to me. I'm like, man, they remembered me. You know, like, right. Like it's a great thing, man. Like, we skateboarded a long time ago, dude. 30-something years ago is a lifetime to some people. Some people are just turning 30. Dude, that's a lifetime to people. And a lot has happened in that 30 years. So to be remembered in that time, whether it's being a quick clip and it could be 20 people, it could be 2,000 people, it could be 20,000 people. Just to know that, just to know those things, it's so important for people to show that kind of love to people and not wait until they're, you know, not wait until they're gone. Don't save that picture of me until I'm gone, man. Like, no. Don't do that. Like, like, you know what I'm saying? I mean, please don't do that.
To a fault, that's one of my biggest pet peeves. Like anybody that knows me really well has heard me super frustrated. I've lost some really dear people in my life. I think we all have, or everyone my age probably has. Mm-hmm. But the way that it post shit where it's like literally post meaning after they're dead, but also mm-hmm. post meaning you're posting on your Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
I saw it with Jake. I saw it with Preston. I saw it with all these guys that were so dear to me. And I get it. Like they were dear to a lot of people. I get that. And it's not a competition. Like he meant more to me. It's mm-hmm. just like, I know that dude and what he was feeling about what people thought about him, and it sure as hell wasn't what came out after he was gone.
Yep.
And a lot of times, like with Mark, you know, he wasn't perfect by any means. He was a loose cannon, and he drank a lot, and he had his own issues, and he was tough to deal with, and he was like mentally challenged in certain areas or whatever. But like, you know, I deal with this with my close friends that are struggling really hard. That's not the time to leave your friend. That's the time to hold on and say, hey, I got your back. I got your back. Hey, I don't have an answer for you, but I got your back, dude.
Yes.
Let's fucking figure this out.
Yes,
I don't have an answer, but like, I love you.
And
I ain't waiting until you're gone to say that.
Yep.
I got to tell it to you now. And maybe that little love that I just gave you will help you go another day. And maybe, like I tell this to, you know, whoever will listen, today sucked, but tomorrow today's over. So wake up tomorrow and think tomorrow could rule. Like, you never know, you know, and you just have to almost literally live one day at a time and just be like, hey, I'm glad I'm going to bed right now because tomorrow, today is over. And and fucking, I'm going to get it tomorrow and I'm going to drink my coffee and I'm going to get fired up until something tells me not to be fired up anymore. And whatever you need to do to keep your sanity, just stay your path, you know, just keep going where you want to go. You want to open that restaurant, you fucking plan that and you just keep striving towards it. And you know, as a person that did what you did in skateboarding, you have that fucking strength and you're not going to give up and you're going to get it. You know, it might not be easy. It might not be first try. Anything that's first try is too easy and we don't want it. We want to fail and get back up and get it. And then, damn, I got it. Fucker, fuck you. You
know, exactly.
That's the feeling that we love.
Yep.
I can't explain it, but that's the one. So,
And that's kind of, you know, that's kind of where, you know, that's where my brain's been at. And like, I stay in contact with a lot of my, probably the same four or five people the whole time I've been out here. And like, they have been very fucking instrumental in getting me, literally getting me through being here. They've done a lot more for me than any program ever could have. And, you know, it's just those days where you're like, dude, I'm going to fucking lose it. You know, I'm going to fucking lose it today. And like, and no one knows that feeling. You know, you're just like, I fucking came out here with a backpack and a fucking phone charger. And you're just like, what the fuck? My entire world's rocked. But then you're like, no, it's not my entire world. I still have my friends. And every fucking day, my friends, I pick up the phone. My friend Bo, my friend fucking Amanda, my friend Dee Dee. Like, they pick up the phone any fucking time, day or night, and be right there. And I'm like, they literally got me through all of this. They 100% got me through this. My friend Christy that's out here should always come pick me up on the weekends, take me fucking breakfast, and go walk around. And I'm like, dude, you guys do a lot more for me than any of that shit. And they don't understand. I don't think they just think, oh, man, we're just friends, you know? And I'm like, those are the people that make the fucking world go around. Goes back to skateboarding, man. Skateboarding, it eats you up and, you know, chew you up and spit you out. You're as good as your last video part to skateboarding. But your friends will always be your friends. You know, it really can't define. Skateboarding, I was blessed enough to be a part of something really cool, a really cool collective of teams and work with really cool people and do some really great traveling and stuff. But that's a part of my life. And, you know, I just happen to be one of those guys that's a fucking go-getter that wants to do a lot of shit. You know, I never wanted to sit around and, you know what I mean? I wanted to get on my bike and fucking ride it 20 miles, not around the corner. And, you know, and just like yourself, man, you know, like you love traveling, you love making videos, you love talking to people, you love like, this is your thing. This is what you like doing. And skateboarding is an extension of that, right? You could talk to anyone. You could literally have this conversation with anyone. Like, you're a great person to have a conversation with. That's part of your DNA right there. Skateboarding is part of your DNA. Like, everyone's like, skateboarding is my life. It's like, no, it's not. Tony Hawk wouldn't even say that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he loves skateboarding. That's what he does. But that's not, he has grandchildren and shit and like a family and a restaurant and all these things. And once you tap into that when you're older, dude, like, you don't want to be that dude that's 40 something on fucking IG, like 40 year old skater. And you got a crooked ass kickflip. Like, what is that? You know what I mean? What is that? What is it? What does that say about you? You know what I mean? You're 40 year old with a crooked kickflip. What does that say? Then Ryan DeCenzo pulls up and like makes all y'all look like an idiot. You know what I'm like, what are you going to say?
Exactly.
Well, like you're the king of the 40-year-old losers. Like, what is that? What did Gabe say? You got to sell out to eat out, right? Like, I remember Gabe Morford said that back in the day. I'd never forget that. Like, hey, you got to sell out to eat out, man. And, right. That's where a lot of people are at right now. I wish I could sell out and get a plane ticket home.
That's like Muska, money makes you thick. I'll never forget that one.
Oh my God.
It's basically the same thing. You give me money, I'm going to eat.
Muska looks like one of the first pilgrims that came over. He got off the boat and got fat. Like, Muska's my homie, though, dude. I'm happy for him. I'm glad he's found his...
he's found some sort of inner peace, you know? I think that's very important.
Seeing somebody like Jamie Thomas, Chad Muska, these guys that were like at the top of their game.
Yes.
To like, how long ago was that? Less than 20 years, probably, like, right? Like,
they were around my time. They were, well, Chad was a little later. Chad was like later 90s.
But Chad's like glory days, like the Trans World video where Muska and Jamie are in like Europe and they're the Beatles. Everybody's fucking like, ah.
Yeah. Like,
and now, like, no disrespect, but like, that's not where he is in his life. It's kind of crazy to think that a human being can endure that change. And like, the acclimation to that change is fucking, it's a struggle, and it's a lot of like rediscovery. It's a lot of new, it's a lot of overwhelm. And like, yeah. People don't understand that. People think like, oh, he was a pro skater, he's got millions of dollars. He don't. He's spray painting his own boards and selling them on the internet to try to get money. Like, life is hard. It ain't the old days where you could buy a house for $20,000. Like, shit's fucking millions.
I think
now.
He was smart enough to tap into the whole art thing. You know how like, because I don't know if you know how those guys sell art. It's like a whole science to it. It's sort of like how Strange Love sells boards.
Like number them.
No, it's like a whole little monopoly to it. Like, you get one guy to have it, like you can basically, like, so you have one piece of art and you get like a famous musician or say LeBron or something, you give him the piece of art and then it's like, LeBron's got my art. And the next thing you know, your art is worth so much money, you know? And Danny Minnick's one of those guys that jumped in. A lot of those guys jumped in on that whole art monopoly type thing. And so they do very well with it.
To a big influencer.
Yes. And they do very well with it. You know, it's like, Sal told me all about this whole thing of how it's done.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, there's a whole thing of how it's done to sell. I mean, it's obviously they make art, but there's a whole way to, you know, you have an agent and there's a whole fucking thing to it. But Muska was doing the art for a while, and then he still sells skateboards. And I mean, you gotta think about it, like, I was saying this the other day, like Kevin Staub per se, right? Kevin Staub hasn't had a board since what, 1988? That's 45 years ago, 30, almost 40 years ago. Seriously. So yeah. Kevin Staub, everyone's like, boards don't sell, right? Kevin Staub can come out with a skateboard right now, make 400 of them, sell them at $300-$400 each and sell out within minutes because he has the power of having a good skateboard graphic. And Chad has that going too. Chad, myself, and I can't even think of anyone else that has a skateboard graphic, not a skateboard company with a graphic, a skateboard graphic where you can go back and you can sell it 30 years later or something like that. Everyone else runs off a series and stuff like that. Chad Muska can sell the Muska graphic for the rest of his life. Literally.
That's like the original dudes, right? Like Grosso, Caballero, they had their identifier.
Yep. Yeah. I have an identifier graphic. There's certain people that have an identifier graphic. You can go. There's a reason Strange Love made that board a bunch of times and Boris Becker's son's riding it. And there's a fucking reason. There's literally a reason for that stuff is because those graphics sell. And which is awesome, right? It's very awesome. And Chad has a very popular graphic from back then. He also has a very popular shoe. And so put those two things together, dude, the dude can like dress up like a stormtrooper in the middle of Ohio, in the middle of winter, spray paint a board, hanging off a piece of fishing twine. And like, everyone's like, oh my God. And dude, he has figured it out, dude. He has figured out his customer. And just like Kevin Staub, they've figured out their customer and they have one thing they can start by selling one thing to them and they're off to the races. You know, other than that, he's like making videos of his gophers eating carrots and stuff, which is, that's fine, right? No one like, in between that time, they're like, all right, Muska's going to drop another board. Muska's going to drop another shoe. He's going to dress up like a stormtrooper, like spray paint his boards and pack some boxes. And he's got a formula, dude. It works every single time. It works just like Kevin Staub. Kevin Staub can come out, dress like a pirate, put that board up, boom, board selling right there. And they figured it out, dude. They literally figured it out. It's going to be hard for a lot of the newer guys to figure that out. You know, like, look at Salba. Salba, like, paints a pool on a skateboard. Dude sells out a board. He's not worried about nothing. He's literally not worried about nothing. He's not worried about a thing. And I met Saba, dude. I was so fucking stoked. Dude, I was so hyped to meet Saba. You have no idea. Yeah. I was more hyped to meet Saba than probably Ray Barbie.
Damn.
I'm not even, and I love Ray Barbie. I was just hyped to meet Saba because I'd never met Saba, you know, and never met him, dude. And like, he was such a nice guy, dude. And then like came up, introduced himself, and he's like, asked his wife to take a picture of us. I was like, holy shit, this guy knows me. Shout out to Saba. I fucking love that dude.
Shout out.
Was that the highlight of the Hall of Fame?
That was a highlight. Him, and Frankie Hill. Frankie Hill came up after he got his speech. I was like walking back. I think I was watching Arco and those guys give their speech. And Frankie Hill came running from some seat. He's like, hey, man, I just want to tell you, thank you. Thank you. He's like, I wouldn't be here if it, thank you. He's like, thank you for everything you did, because I vouched for Frankie Hill for years, dude. The receipts are there for years. I'd always tag in. I was like, dude, why isn't this guy in the Hall of Fame? Why is this guy in the Hall of Fame? At least twice a year, I would tag the Hall of Fame and be like, what the fuck? You guys forgot Frankie Hill again. And they finally got him in, and Frankie Hill said thank you to me. That was one of the coolest fucking things anyone's ever did in my life.
Talking Schmidt, dude.
Same thing with Ryan Allen. Hey, dude, I did the same thing with Ryan Allen, and that dude turned around and thanked Kelly Clarkson or somebody. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, I'm so mad. I was like, this motherfucker thanked Kelly Clarkson. Don't even know Kelly Clarkson.
Oh, man.
But Frankie was cool. I met Glenn Friedman, dude. Funniest Glenn Friedman story. I'm sorry to fucking babble. This is the greatest thing ever.
No,
so
I love it.
Right when I get there, I see Mike Carroll when I get there. I'm like, oh shit, what's up, Mike? And like, he's like, asking me about sobriety in California, and then Jameer comes up, and like, I'm like, oh shit. He's like, oh man, what's up, man? Big fans. I'm just like, and so this guy walks by, and I was like, dude. I was like, I got to get a picture of us three, and this guy walks by, and I'm like, hey, man, can you take a photo of us? And Jim's like, oh, that's like the absolute best guy to act. Take a photo. I was like, I go, who is that? They go, dude, that's Glenn Friedman.
Wow.
I thought he was like, no disrespect. And what's funny is a couple days before, Glenn hit me up and asked me to come to that new movie he's doing. I forgot the name of it. It's something, it's like Fuck Your Heroes movie. Do you know about this?
No.
He's doing a movie. He did a private screening for his new movie. And I didn't know this. Yeah, I had no, you know, I was like, oh man, I'd go after the Hall of Fame. But then I ended up going to Vegas on a private jet with Tony Hawk. So I didn't.
Sorry about that.
Couldn't go to Glenn Friedman's because I was on a private jet. What a shitty life. Yeah, that happened. So damn, sorry, Glenn.
Hey, you know what's crazy is you guys landed in Vegas the day we left Vegas.
Really?
I went there with me and my wife went out to just see the Wizard of Oz at that sphere thing. It was fucking insane. Like, I was like, you know, sometimes you do wife things and you're like, okay, whatever. And like, I went and I came out of that thing going like, whoa, I'm stoked.
Really?
Like it was insane. Like, it's the whole thing is crazy. Like, it's this huge circle screen, biggest screen you ever seen, and it's all encompassing. And then they got fans and shit, and your seats are moving, and like, and there's shit flying in the air. Like, it's an experience like you'll never have, I don't think.
Are you
and
inside of the sphere?
Yeah. It's like a movie theater in a big ass ball. It's a definite trip. It makes IMAX look like a fucking little, you know, cardboard box. It's crazy.
I'll tell you something really crazy. Speaking of movies, so a couple weeks before that, we went and saw Mortal Kombat, a pre-screening of Mortal Kombat, right? Tony's like, hey, you want to go see Mortal Kombat? I'm like, absolutely. And so we go to some private screening. This is the best part about it. So we're all sitting there, and I'm like, I go, hey, Tony. I was like, this is the first time I've been to a movie since The Bachelor. I'm not even joking. That was the first time I'd been in a movie theater since seeing The Bachelor. Swear to God, which was like 2009 or something like that.
2009, shit. So, fuck yeah, almost 20 years.
Yeah, dude. That was the first time I'd been in a movie theater. And was like, damn. Like, I was like, oh, shit, they got food? Like, fit. Dude, it's like I just got out of prison or something. Like, I was so lost in that place, dude. But we went up to go to it's Tom Brady and Dana White has some new bar called the Tailgate, Snoop Dogg was playing. It was Tony's birthday. Yeah, it was cool. It was cool. I think Tony's Tony has his hands in like all these things. You know, we went to eat at some super nice restaurant when I first got here. And he's like, oh, you like the food? And I was like, we were just talking about food and shit. I'm like, yeah, man. He's like, yeah, me and my wife went to the chef has another spot down in downtown San Diego. And me and my wife went out one night and the chef said he's opening another spot. And Tony's like, oh, I'd like to invest. And he's like, yeah, I'm an investor here. And I was like, whoa, what the fuck? Like you're just going to throw that out in the middle of dinner? You know what I mean? how are you just going to throw that out? You know what I mean? Oh, I got a new car this weekend. Like, yeah, I'm one of the investors in this restaurant. It's a really nice restaurant, too. And as we go to leave, I always forget that I'm with him.
Yeah, I think you're
good. You know what I mean? So, I just leave him. I would straight up leave the dude sometimes. Because I forget that he's I forget he's Tony Hawk, dude. I just keep walking. Everyone's like, oh, what's up, Tony? And I'd be like, dude, what the fuck is this guy at? And they're like, oh, yeah, it's Tony Hawk. I'm the worst famous person friend in the world, dude. I'll be two blocks up. Tony's where is this guy at? And all these people are surrounding him and shit. But in Vegas, it was funny. I ended up being the cameraman for all these people. They're like, oh, man. Before they ask him questions, I'm just like, dude, give me the camera. But it was a cool trip. We all went out one night and Felipe had never been gambling. So Tony's give him some money.
Oh, and then,
and then Felipe's gambling. It's just hilarious, dude. You know what I mean? I kept thinking he was going to fall out of the chair or something. Dude, I was just like, this guy's gonna fucking, he's gonna roll the dice and come rolling out of the chair like Humpty Dumpty or some shit. Ends up winning some money and then he's like, wants to give Tony some money back. And Tony's like, I don't want it. And then he gives it to me and Felipe's like, no, I'll take it back. And Tony's like, oh, you want $100? And I was like, sure. And I was like, all right, let's go back to the hotel. I don't gamble. So we get back to the hotel and we get back and I told Tony Hawk I was going to spend the money going to see a Michael Jackson thing. He was so bummed. But he also told me if I wanted to go to Neverland that one of his friends just bought it. I have the weirdest conversations in the world with him. You know what I mean? It's not like talking to you. We talk about skating and shit. I talk to him. He's like, hey, man, you ever want to go to Neverland? Let me know. My buddy just bought it.
Fuck, dude. That's crazy.
Yeah, so, everyone's asking why I don't call Tony. Why don't you call Tony? See if he'll help you. I'm like, I'm not pulling that lifeline. I'm not, homeless. You know what I mean? It's not like I live out of a shopping cart. I'm just going to have to go back and reset some things. And, it's going to be hot. It's going to be muggy. But, at least I have a plan. You know what I mean?
Do you got some cash for a flight?
Well, I got some cash. So I think I'm going to end up waiting until maybe at least the end of this week and also going to the library. Do you know this trick, going to the library and getting your ticket?
No.
Yeah, dude, it's much cheaper. Because if you get on your phone or your laptop, it's something with your IP, but at the library, it's government shit. So you get tickets up to 30% cheaper.
Damn. Okay. I got to look into that.
Yeah. So that's the only thing. I have a bunch of boards here that I need to send out. I pre-sold some of those Soul Train boards.
Oh, sick.
So yeah, I got to send them out. They're already paid for and shit like that. So whatever I have left from that and just get on a bus or get on a train, go home. If I got to get on a bus, I don't give a fuck. They got Wi-Fi on the bus. Yeah, I got Wi-Fi on the bus. I fucking do a podcast on the bus. I don't give a fuck.
Dude, you should, man. For real.
That'd be sick, right?
It'd be so sick. Yeah. I should interview people on the bus. Dude, you find the best characters on that shit. You're like, damn, what do you got? And you're like, well, let me tell you.
I'd love to be home for Go Skate Day. They have hang out with the kids and be around my people. You know, I think it's very important to...
Dude, I gotta ask you a question, because this dude, he helps me a lot. I got like a little membership program going for the pod now, and this dude's a fucking, he's been since day one, and he said, ask Clyde what he remembers of the time World Industry Demo skating downtown Austin with like 30 plus skaters in tow. He said, like, I think you were with Rodney maybe, and it was like a while ago, but he's from Austin. He was wondering if you remember it.
If I'm correct.
And he said you might have went off to skate a McDonald's or something.
Okay, if I'm correct, that's also where I want to say Pat Duffy was with us too, which is random. I just saw Pat. But I want to say Pat was with us. Rodney was definitely there. And I remember we bought, I think it was Austin, but we bought an ounce of weed, and it was in bricks. And I remember this. I remember this from Texas, because I remember this trick from Texas. And it was like in bricks. And we had to get like apples, or I think it was apples, and cut them up and put it in the bag, and it made the weed fluffy. And that's what I remember of Texas going in the 90s, going on tour. That's literally what I remember of Texas. I remember Fort Worth a good bit. Not Fort Worth, I'm sorry. San Antonio. And also, one thing I remember of Texas, but it might not have been Austin, was, you know the name Hometown Hero? Do you know where that came from?
That's a great question. I don't know. Was there a certain incident? I know what a Hometown Hero is, but it's like the guy that, like, you go to a demo, and then all of a sudden the hometown guy tries to take everybody out. Like, he's like the, I'm the best. Did it come from Dennis Buzanitz or no?
Nope. It came from my recollection, it came from Cody McIntyre.
Oh.
Cody McIntyre was the guy. I didn't know him. We were just told before we got to Texas, like, watch out. There's this guy that's going to come out from Texas, and he's fucking kills the demos, and he's a hometown hero, you know? Like, so everyone was on high alert for this hometown hero guy, and, like, I remember he skated. He was cool. I was just like, you know, he's a good skater. He was cool. I didn't think much of it. But I know there was a lot of skaters, a lot of my peers that didn't ride for us. I think a lot of them wrote for Girl and Chocolate. But they did not like him. Like they did not like him, dude. Like they thought he was a show-off, and they called him the Hometown Hero, and that's where that name always came from, is Texas, the Hometown Hero.
Wow. Yeah. There you go. Yeah. If you know different, email me. But until then, that's the story. You heard it here, right here.
There's going to be someone like, man, it came from Seattle. Like, come on. Everything comes from Seattle. If you know, like, it was Aaron Dieter, dude. Like,
hey, what happened? You went on the Thrasher vacation, right?
Yes.
And you forgot your ID or your wallet or something, right?
I never had one.
Oh, that's what it was. And they sent you the check and you couldn't cash it because you didn't have it.
Yes.
How the fuck did you get on the plane without an ID?
Dude, I had this miraculous run of getting on airplanes for like, up until then, I had a miraculous run from probably 2009 until then of getting on planes and with no ID. Like, it's a known fucking, there's a couple of like reels on my page from like the last few years, like, this is how you fly without an ID.
Damn. And
yeah, dude, literally. Like, once I learned how to start making reels with it, it'd just be like, oh, you just go through TSA, you wait a little bit, and like, they'll let you through. You just had to be patient and cool. Uh-huh. Yeah, they would let you through. But when they passed the Real ID Act, they were like, nah. But what's funny is they flew me into Detroit, and they wouldn't let me fly home from Boston. So I ended up taking the train from Buffalo. I apologize. So I took the train from Buffalo to New York, slept in Penn Station. I think I got AIDS or something. And then, then I took another train to like Greensboro. And by the time I got home, I was so fucking sick. And so I had to deal with the craziest cold for like 2 weeks. And I went back on tour and I got a ride to Atlanta. I couldn't fly to Atlanta. And then from Atlanta, I took a bus from Atlanta to Jacksonville. Damn. Went and saw my mom, got an ID, and then took a bus from Jacksonville to Miami. Yeah, dude. Yeah. I was missing on a good few legs of that trip. I was missing, dude. I was like,
where is he?
Yeah, yeah, not missing, but I was just like, those guys were just skating and, you know, they were fucking killing it, dude. Thiago was fucking amazing, dude. Like, Thiago is amazing. He's one of the most amazing skateboarders I've ever seen in my life.
One of the gnarliest things that went down on that trip that you saw? Oh,
absolutely. Tom Schar.
He was there.
Dude, I don't think people understand how crazy that wall ride thing was on that tree. That was, and how quick he did it. Like, it didn't make sense. You know what I mean? Like, people were barely even skating that part of the pool. And just to get to that part was, I don't know how he did it. Like, I swear, I'm just like, I don't know. Thiago, that switch flip back tail slide Thiago did was fucking incredible in Detroit, just because no one was expecting it. And that was the worst bump to ledge I'd ever seen in my life. Ever. You know what I mean? Like it was shitty. Like it was terrible. But you can tell he's used to skating like really bad shit. You know what I mean? If you can skate something like that and be that consistently good on it, and Jimmy Wilkins, watching him skate vert in person was fucking
a dream.
Beautiful. Watching that dude skate vert in person I can't explain it, man. It's like watching Chris Miller and like Matt Hensley together. You know what I mean?
It's just so graceful and like,
dude, it was
so
beautiful.
Easy.
Like, it was beautiful. Because it's funny, skateboarding has this thing where like you look at these people and you're like, you don't think of them, you know, like you have these misconceptions of like, oh, you know, that guy's probably like, you know, like he's just a regular looking guy. He gets on a skateboard. You're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Same thing with Tom Schar. You know, you're just like, I mean, the same thing goes for fucking Shane O'Neill. Shane O'Neill looks like he works at fucking Nordstrom, right?
Yeah.
And is one of the most incredible skateboarders ever, right? Like he literally dresses like he fucking works at TJ Maxx or some shit.
Yeah.
But you watch him skateboard, you're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of skateboarding, right? And Jimmy Wilkins was one of those guys. I think they were all great. I thought it was really cool to see Andrew. Andrew's a funny guy, though. You know, like, but if you know him, he's always been like that. He's always been like, not insecure, but just overly watches. Like, he's just like tight about things that no one else thinks about. You know what I mean? And I don't think that's an insecurity. He's just very judgmental of himself, but he's like, he has a funny outlook about it. He's not bummed on himself. He's just like, I'm gonna do that again. And you're like, why? You know what I mean? But that's what makes him fucking Andrew Reynolds, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what makes him. He's a perfectionist. And he's a perfectionist in his own world. And I think it's incredible watching someone skateboard that well that's that old. You know what I mean? No one understands, like, how good he is for his age and how consistent he is for his age and how much he fucking skates, man. You know what I mean? He skates a lot. Like, he is very comfortable on his skateboard. You know what I mean? I ain't gonna lie. I skate a couple times a week. That dude skates every fucking day.
Yeah.
And he loves skateboarding. That's what he loves talking about. That's what he loves doing. I had a great time with all those. Like, me, him, and Tom. Like, we'd have the most ridiculous Mount Rushmores of skating.
Yeah, you bonded with Tom K, right?
Dude, Tom's my boy, dude. I fucking love that dude. Tom is a lifetime picnic fucking attendee. He's always invited to every barbecue. That's my guy. That's my guy right there, man. I love that dude. I'm stoked he did that thing with Sheffy with you guys. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
Wilton is a great skater. I got to hang out with Brandon Westgate. I've never met him before this time.
Westgate.
Really great skater.
Yeah.
Obviously, Jamie Foy is black. I don't care what anyone says. Jamie Foy is black. He's a black man. He is a black man. He is a black man that looks like Archie Bunker. He is, dude. He is. You cannot tell me.
Gnarly.
I met his mom too, and like just the nicest people. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
for real.
He comes from a really good family, and like he's just a good dude. You know, like a generally a good guy. Loves skating, and he's one of them dudes that's gonna make it. He was gonna make it no matter what. You know what I mean? Margie was cool. Fucking. Oh man, I know who was sick. Frankie Villani.
Oh, he's God. He skates like no other.
Dude. That dude was, he would do some shit, you're like, there's no fucking way. You know what I mean? Like, he would literally do some shit, you're like, there ain't no way he's about to do that. And he would just do it.
And he looks like he's asleep at the wheel, right? He's just kind of like chilling.
Dude, that Caballero he did in Atlanta, like, first off, I don't know, someone get that dude a bearing sponsor. Because the way he was rolling up, you're like, there's no way he has enough speed to even jump over that wall if he just wanted to stop and jump. And he did that Caballero. Vern, send him some bearings. That dude did that Caballero so quick, and how he landed, like, full impact, dude. I thought his fucking skateboard was going to explode. And he grabbed his hat. That was one of the most remarkable things on tour. He did that probably in 4 tries. Not even joking, dude. Just jumped out of the car before everyone else could, like, get out of the car and, like, you know, smoke or whatever. Boom, he did the trick, like, that quick.
You know, and you got to be ready.
Watching those guys skate that rail. Dude, Tiago, I just can't explain how good he is, dude. Like, I've never seen anyone skate that good.
Yeah, his pop is, like, bananas. It's, like, it's a different level. Like, what the hell? Crazy.
And you're like, how does he do that with them shoes? I've skated his shoes, like, 4 times. He is a different type of person, dude. He's just really, really a super nice guy. Wilton Sosa was really great. Mm. You know, that was just a...
That New just Balance, reminded me, man. They got a stack squad, like, overnight. Like, in the last year or two, they've really put together a fucking... The team is fucking stacked.
They got a great team, you know? I just think it's the stigma of it being New Balance, you know what I mean? Everyone's not going to like that it's New Balance and da-da-da-da-da, but...
Yeah.
I mean, it's funny. It's like, and I don't like New Balance. I like Converse. You're like, well, that's Nike, asshole. You know what I mean? Like, you can't, like, there's no way to kind of get out of that. And the skater-owned brands are not what they used to be, right? Like, they're not what they used to be.
They can't keep up financially. Like, Nike and those big companies, they got way too much money. They've been doing it too long. They got, like, all that shit, and it's like, I want to support you guys, but I need my feet to be okay. You know, it's like.
Exactly. And like, that's what I always tell people too. I'm like, I don't think it's so much the money with these guys. I think it's the quality of what's going on, you know, like the quality of shoe, the quality of material. And then you take in consideration that the quality of life too. Like, you want to skate, like, skateboards aren't selling right now for the reason, you know, I was just talking to you about. No one has a fucking graphic. You know what I mean? No one has a graphic. It takes one graphic. One graphic, dude. You can have one graphic for 4 years. That is a proven fucking fact. Mm-hmm. You can have one fucking graphic and just sit on that thing. Just all you gotta do is skate. You don't gotta worry about selling. You don't worry about selling shit. Just skate, dude. Have your one board. Who's gonna be bummed? Andy Anderson's had the same graphic, right?
Mm.
Right? He's had the same fucking graphic. No one even, I don't even know if he's had a new one. If he has, I don't care about it. You know, I know his one graphic, and that's what it takes. It takes one fucking graphic. And unfortunately, you know, skateboards aren't selling because lack of marketing and things like that. And the shoe companies can put some money into the marketing. They have a marketing budget and they can send you on tour and do these types of things. And that's where it's fucking at. That's where it's at. I'm not paying these guys, you know? Who the fuck am I to say anything?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Now it makes sense because a lot of people's friends are losing their jobs at the Rukas and things like that. And it's like, hey, whoop do you fucking do? You know what I mean? Like, start some new shit. Get some new shit going. You know, like, you guys think that was going to last forever? You think you're going to ride on that corporate ladder for fucking ever, dude? Like, people that work for corporations don't have long careers. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Things that are skater owned, people don't think's cool. You know, they don't think it's fucking cool. They don't. You know, like, look at Deshaun. Deshaun went from fucking a skater owned thing to fucking April. April is weird. You know what I mean? It's fucking weird company. It is, dude. It is. Like, I would have stayed with Ed on Toy Machine. I would have.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're like, that's where you want to be. That's where you want to be. Like, at least you know Ed's not your comp, you know, no disrespect, but Ed isn't your competition. You're on a team with fucking Shane O'Neill. That's your competition.
Yeah,
that's your fucking competition. No matter how you think about it, that is your fucking competition. At the end of the fucking day, you can look at everybody in the magazine, but your fucking boss is your fucking competition.
Yeah.
If he's right there and he's got a board, good fucking luck.
Your boss can end the last part in every video that's made.
Exactly. Unfortunately, you know, like, everybody that's on Primitive, they ain't got that problem. You know what I mean? They don't. They dropped the ball with fucking, what's that kid's name? Jabe. They dropped the ball with that dude.
Dylan Jabe, dude. So that's a good segue, because I wanted to ask you, like, it's and for me, Antonio Doral, Dylan Jabe, Simon Banneroff, and Dom Von der Linden are the guys for this year that I think are fucking just coming. And then there's this one guy that has had two trips to the hospital this year. I mean, Nyjah's going for it, right? Like, holy fuck. But, like, those are the dudes that I think have, like, the fucking momentum. What are we? Almost June. So we're almost halfway through the year. Dylan Jabe, that fucking fakey flip heard around the world. Simon Banderoff and Van der Linden skate this way that is just, I love.
Incredible.
And then Anthony and Antonio Doral is kind of my favorite. I don't know really why, but he just has almost like a Mark Gonzalez to him, where he's just like a unicorn or something.
Yes.
So do we throw anybody else into that mix? Do you got a clear favorite? Are you feeling similar vibes? What are you thinking?
So out of the four guys you picked, I'd like to see Simon win. I think Simon's just an awesome fucking skateboarder. I really do.
And he doesn't care. He's like the lead. He's like, I don't even know what you're talking about. Skater of the year, what's that?
and he can cook too, which makes it very impressive. He's a very impressive guy. He can cook. He's like a great cook.
Fuck
yeah. He is. But I'd love to see him win. I've always been a fan of Vandalon. Like, I think he's incredible skateboarder. You know, how do you feel before we get out of here? How do you feel about Heath not showing up to collect his thing?
I mean, so Heath and Julian kind of cut from different cloths, but the same fucking article of clothes. I don't know. They're like, I would have expected both of them not to be there. I think Heath has always been a mysterious dude. Like, he liked to skate at night by himself. Like, you know, I don't think anybody that knows skateboarding could look at Heath and not think Heath is fucking phenomenal. You know, like, he did it his way, and he did it very impactful, and he impacted and influenced a lot of people in the route. So I wonder, is it a political statement, like, I don't give a fuck about the Hall of Fame, or am I too shy to get up on stage? I don't like the attention. I don't know what it was necessarily, but it didn't really surprise me.
Okay.
You know?
I think
some people, Julian included, which really tripped me out, was like, last thing in the world that dude wants is to get up on stage in front of, like, all the people that come out of fucking the cracks for those things and talk about, like, himself. Like, he does not want to do that. And for something that's like, hey, dude, here's your best moment in your life, but you have to do the thing that you hate the most. It's like, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, some people are like, give me that mic. I'm never giving it back. So there I was, bro. Ba-ba-boo-ba-doo, shabada. And you're like, dude, oh my God. And some people are like, hey, I just want to thank you guys. Eric Costin, Skater of the Year. He came up, he goes, fuck, I guess I'm Skater of the Year. Thank you, guys. Done, right? Some people grab the mic and they got a speech and they talk forever. And some people, I hate to say it, But Mark Johnson forever will be my favorite fucking acceptance speech. He just grabbed the trophy. He's like, this is the only one that matters. It's the only one that matters. And fucking just said that like three times. And it just became the mantra, like, fuck, this dude that's the best skater of the year is saying that this is the only award that matters. What more could you ask for? Like, marketing, response, everything, perfect. So Mark is the only skater of the year, by the way, and the only one ever to get a Harley Davidson as his prize. When he won skater of the year, money must have been coming in. Boost Mobile, I don't know who was doing it. But he got a Harley Davidson, and true or false, he sold the Harley Davidson before the party was over.
Always. Oh, yeah. So that's where that picture of him and Kelly Bird and Aaron are from, and Aaron Mazza.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Wow. Yeah, man. I didn't know Mark had a son too. So, you know, rest in peace to that guy. That's
dude. It's sad. Yeah. It hit everybody.
To his family. Yeah, man. Condolences to his family, man. And that's a tough one, dude.
Like, if I had a ton of money, what I would put my money into would be a nonprofit organization that takes care of retired skaters. Like, it's almost like WWE. Like, these dudes gave their whole life. They fucked their bodies up. They did everything for this thing. And now they need help. And here's the help. You know, like, I just see that so much in these careers. As skaters hit 40, it becomes like, I'm not the dude anymore. Now what do I do? Because I can't retire. Like, I got 24 more years till I can retire. Like, what do I do? You know, and it's just like you got to realize that there's only one Tony Hawk. Not a lot of people are going to be able to retire off skateboarding. And so you want to put yourself in a position to continue being this rad dude. Life isn't just one chapter. It's all the chapters. So you got to...
Yep.
Keep it interesting, right? Keep it fired up. Always remember the fire. Just fucking whatever it was that drew you to that to make you successful at that, take that and make it a similar vibe for whatever it is. Like, dude, all I do is I think about cooking, man. I'm going to fucking open this restaurant and my shit's going to be different than anything else because I'm a skateboarder. I'm creative. I'm going to have the kitchen over there. I'm going to do this. The way, you know, like it's going to be this vibe where you're like, whoa, that's kind of cool. Like when people see it, they're like, yeah, dude, I'm creative. I ain't following everybody. I'm leading. I don't want to follow. I want to do what I think. And having those passions, whether you fail or you succeeded because you did it the way you thought of and wanted to do it. So
that's yeah, what you said. I was thinking about doing too before we get out of here. I had this idea a long time ago because it's so freaking hot in Florida. My phone's almost dying, but I had this idea. I was like, dude, I want one of those bikes that you ride around that has like an ice cream thing in the back. Dude, I make so much money. Dude, like have that thing and have it be skatable too. That would be so fucking genius, dude. Pull up to the skate park, have a bunch of ice cream in the back and like have a little ledge on the back, dude.
Right.
I'd make $100 a day easily, dude. $100 an hour, I'm sorry, easily, dude. That'd be fucking awesome. But, you know, I think when I get back home, I have a little time to figure out some things, and that's all I want to do. You know, have a little time to figure out some things and not scramble around. And yeah, man, everything's going to be all right. I know.
Fuck yeah. Dude, obviously, reach out anytime. Fucking, if there's something I can do to be of help or just even a conversation or venting or fucking sharing stoke, obviously, all that. But yeah, it's tough, man. A lot of my friends, and myself included, find these hurdles that are kind of pretty tall and you're like, dude, I don't have the jump anymore. Like, fuck.
We're not getting younger, dude. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, let's just enjoy it. Let's just enjoy life and enjoy each other for what it's worth. I think that's what it's about at this age.
It feels so much to me like if I was smarter than I am, that we could create this thing that helps. Because this is like such a big... I really think that this is one of the bigger problems in my peers, like with our group of friends. I just want so bad for there to be help for that. And I don't know how to do it, but I feel like it's an important thing that should be addressed by the whole community.
I have a friend that I want you to talk to, and she's been working specifically on that. And I would love for her to, she would be so stoked if I told her, this is what I talk. You have no idea.
It's like, dude, but I watch these wrestling documentaries, and I swear to God, it may be cheesy, I don't know, but it feels so parallel. Like
it is, dude.
Like
it
Hulk
is.
Hogan did not, he was not successful when he died.
No,
you know?
He was not. Like, no, he was hanging out with Bam, right?
Dude, right? It's like these guys are at Vegas, like doing the B-list celebrity shit. And you're like, yeah. These guys killed themselves. Like, just like skating, they took a beating. And now nobody's got, like, now no one cares because they're fucking 50 years old and they're talking about their heyday because that's all they had. And it's like, it's sad. And I just want, I want to figure that one out.
Dude, my friend is going to be so hyped if I tell her we talked. She's going to be so, she's been planning this for like the last 2 years, just taking, like, we'll talk for hours. And
yeah,
she's one of my very good friends. And she's like, she has a name for it. Dude, she's going to be so psyched that you said, you have no idea.
Well,
like, when we get off of this call, I'm calling her and she's going to be fucking ecstatic.
Well, tell her to hit me up anytime. I'd love
okay,
to
definitely
hear
will.
Ideas on, even if I can be a small piece of pie that figures out, like, I mean, contributing financially, contributing mind, contributing time, like whatever it is, it's like, I think it's something really important to build. And that's the struggle with life, I think. A lot of times we don't know what we want, but we know what we don't want. So,
yep.
Yeah.
At least the conversation's there, you know, and that's a good thing. It's always good that it's on people's mind, you know, instead of just like people are talking about it. I think that's great. If people are actually worried about these things enough to open up and talk about them. That's where it starts at, you know?
Exactly. Last question and we're done.
Okay.
Sammy Baca just called in. Pie or ice cream?
Pie. I'm not a... But hold on. Do you mean sherbet or ice cream? Does sherbet count as ice cream?
Yeah.
I still go with pie.
Me too.
Yeah. So, Baca, I said, what's up, man?
Yeah.
My phone's about to die. I don't want to cut you off.
All right. Well, we'll talk soon, man. Take care of yourself. Good to wrap, man. I appreciate this a lot.
Hey, love you, brother. I'll speak to you soon, okay?
Love you too. Take care.
Peace, man.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Oro Coffee. That's some damn good coffee. Order one or six bags at orocoffeeroasters.com.
Y'all like music? Because you're listening to SMFM.
Hey, people. Hello. Thank you for having me. Thank you for having SMFM right here. Your one and only for new music. And speaking of new music, I got another new music for you tonight. This guy comes at me, Ellis Jones. I don't know if he's a publisher, a musician, but he is a skateboarder. So it makes sense that he wears all these other different hats of creativity. The band is called the Tasty Sandies, and the song is called Power Courts. And I want to power court this song, right to you. Power Courts by Tasty Sandies. Ellis Jones?
Come and drink from the Power Courts.
Come and drink from the power courts. spiritual practice.
Tasty Sandies by Ellis Jones. Dr. Ellis Jones? Is that a hat that this gentleman wears? I mentioned he's a publisher, a writer, a skateboarder, and a musician. And he just pops up everywhere. San Francisco, Brooklyn, Texas, Florida, Georgia, shalam-a-nam-a-ding-dong. And it's very avant-garde. Just like this show that you're having right now, SMFM. But I digress. You can find out more about Tasty Sandies, Ellis Jones, and the magazine that he publishes that is called Chainsaw Mag. And you can find out about all that right here at chainsaw.magazine. Read it. It's like the new, it's the new Vice meets the new Rolling Stone meets the old Mad Magazine meets the New Yorker. But scrap all those. This is just Chainsaw Magazine. It's the hottest thing out. Issue 1 drops on the 4th of July, 2026. Ellis Jones, Chainsaw Magazine, Tasty Sandies, Power Quartz. Thank you for dropping that here at SMFM. And thank you, good people, for having me once again. See you next time. Don't stop searching for new music. Just come to me.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Talking Schmidt. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Anchor, Spotify, or anywhere you get your podcasts. When you subscribe, you'll get notifications every Tuesday of new episodes the minute they become available. Also, please leave reviews and a 5-star rating. It's the best way to help the show grow. All of the episodes will always remain free, but if you would like to help support the show, you can do so at talkingschmidt.com. where you can pick up some merchandise like t-shirts, beanies, hats, and stickers. The website has an entire archive of all of the episodes, with extra photos and videos. Email us with any suggestions, comments, or ways that the show may have improved your life at talkingschmidt@gmail.com. All interviews are conducted, edited, and produced by Schmitty. The intro music is Mary's Cross by the band Nature. A very special shout-out goes to the executive director, Cheryl Camisa.
Shout out.
Love it!
This is Talking Schmidt, where the Rolodex is deep, but the conversation is deeper.
Keep the wheels greased.